Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Before we get into it, this is the last call. This is your last opportunity to come join Dr. Conley and myself, a chiropractor and a PT, as we take you through our movement longevity course. This is a course designed by clinicians where it's 15 minutes a day, but we're hitting every point of the body, taking you through mobility the first week, stability and strength the second week, balance the third week, and then power in the fourth week. And each week, we're going to hit on the foot and ankle. We're going to address the hips, the core, and challenge the system as a whole so that you actually get to stimulate and create change long term. Now, this is lifetime access. This is your last opportunity to get in. And in just 4 weeks, you're going to learn how to improve your mobility and joint health, build strength and core stability, enhance power and coordination, train power for real life resilience, and tackle those problems like nagging joint pain, a loss of flexibility, weak feet, unstable hips, low core coordination, a fear of falling or changing as we age, those aches, pains, and stiffness in midlife and beyond. Because within these 16 different videos, we are cueing you, we are guiding you, we are doing it with you. And we have already started August 1st with an incredible community. However, we're going through weekly live webinars where we're going to answer your questions and help guide you, teach you a little bit more along the way. But August 2025 is the last opportunity that you can come in and join us. So use that discount code that we have available just for you. That's code OPTIMAL that you can use at checkout. Come learn with us. This is about learning from real experts, getting real results, real movement, where we have built it from the ground up through science and movement medicine. This is not another random fitness plan. This is really guided prescription to move better through every phase of life. And it's only going to take 15 minutes a day to really understand, build upon it, and keep it for life so you always have access to it. So I hope you join us. So let's talk about unlocking trigger finger. We're going to go through some of the research explaining, you know, the causes, what treatments are most effective versus conservative versus surgery. We always touch on this. And then we're going to take you through direct effective exercises that can help you today.
Okay, and so trigger finger is essentially this disorder. It's called trigger finger because your finger gets stuck in this bent position, and then sometimes it might snap straight, or some people's finger just gets stuck and it's very difficult for it to straighten again. It's also called stenosing tenosynovitis.
In case you need the technical term.
Yes, which is a long term, essentially meaning like each of our finger muscles have these tendons that run along our finger, and they all kind of go through what we would call sheaths, but essentially it's a bundle of tissue that holds the joint kind of stable. The tendons run through and are integrated within these sheaths. Mm-hmm. And when we start to get either narrowing of that sheath or inflammation of the tendon or both, the tendon will struggle to kind of glide through there. And that's where it might get stuck and might have difficulty straightening again.
And it's good to note that, you know, it only affects about 2.6% of the general population, but there is a higher incidence in those individuals with diabetes with a prevalence up to 10%.
It's one in every 40 people. So you are important. We're thinking about you.
Exactly. And, you know, it's commonly affected in the ring finger and the thumb, and some symptoms that you might be experiencing from pain and stiffness to that affected finger, clicking or popping sensation, and really the finger getting locked in a bent position. That's what trigger finger is. Mainly it's caused from repetitive hand movements or gripping. Inflammation of that tendon sheath is going to be a huge triggering factor. And then underlying health conditions like diabetes or rheumatoid arthritis definitely have more of a prevalence of having trigger finger.
Yeah, and anything that's going to affect your tendon quality or tissue quality, smoking could get thrown in that category as well. So people who are repetitively using their hands, especially in bent and flexed positions, you might be overworking those tendons, and that's where something like this can happen. Taking a quick pause from the episode, and we are still, especially here in Southern California, in the scorching hot days of summer, And that is why it is so important to be focused on our hydration. Not just hydrating with water, but making sure we're replenishing the electrolytes that we're losing naturally throughout the day without even realizing it. And that's why Jen and I both use Element electrolyte drink packets every single day to make sure we're replenishing the sodium, potassium, and magnesium that are so beneficial and so crucial in many of our body's internal processes. Having optimal electrolytes can help with so many things like our sleep, muscle cramps, brain fog, headaches, fatigue, bowel movements, and so much more. So getting some Element will help you come back to that water bottle all day long because they're so darn delicious, and they will also help optimize these electrolytes that are so critical. Head down to the link in the show notes. It's just drinkelement.com/optimal. That's drinkelement, spelled out LMNT.com/optimal. You'll get a free sample pack with every single order that has all of their best flavors, so you'll know which one you want when you inevitably come back to get more. Let's get back into the show. Some of the conservative options for treatment that we might look at initially is just finger splinting. Mm-hmm. And the premise or the thought here is like, okay, well, if we rest the finger, we won't be using it in that same way or that same method. And then the inflammation can calm down. Maybe the tissues can have time to heal or remodel, Because if you're not using it or doing exercises along with this, how are the tissues going to change? But whatever. Finger splinting has actually been shown to be fairly effective. There was a review that looked at a bunch of different studies, and effectiveness ranged from 47% to 93%. So anywhere from a coin flip, 50-50, to 9 plus out of 10 people saw improvements in their symptoms. And that could... This study said that could depend on adherence to the treatment. Were you wearing the splint as much as you were supposed to? Were you resting from the activities that may have been causing or contributing to your trigger finger? But yeah, and I don't have it written down here, but I want to say that people who saw a benefit actually had a fairly low recurrence rate, which again would surprise me if they didn't do anything else other than finger splinting, like if they didn't do activity modification or
get
did some different exercises that could help combat the overuse. Like if they're a manual worker, they have to go back to working.
All of a sudden, you're going to overload it again.
So yeah, that would be interesting to me to look into some of those studies. Again, it was a review, so it listed a bunch of different studies,
right?
As to what the protocol or what the education was that they were given along with finger splinting.
And of course, we have to look at injections. So corticosteroid injections are a huge one that is recommended often. And so when we're looking at, you know, using these injections to help reduce the inflammation of the tendon sheath, there was some pretty good success. Again, very similar to the splinting, which is really interesting to look at the research and see how comparable they are. You know, between 47% and 92% after a single injection, which is interesting. However, there was another study that looked at long-term success, and the rates decline over time, with approximately 49% effectiveness at a 12-month post-injection. So even though, you know, you had anywhere from like almost a 50% to 92% reduction in symptoms, well, after 12 months of this injection, like there's a 50-50 chance like it can come back and you can have your symptoms of trigger finger again. And so, you know, and with a higher rate of occurrence happening in those with diabetes. And so, and we know also, we've done a podcast, I believe, right, on injections.
Yes.
And so we don't want to keep doing these injections.
Yeah.
And it's really important that we're not just using this as a sole treatment.
Yeah, and both of these first options, relatively passive options.
Right.
And the third one, which is surgical intervention. We'd call that a passive option because if all you do is have the surgery and don't do anything beyond that, we're not doing anything to change the environment, to change the habitual patterns, the root cause essentially as to why... what we were doing that could have contributed to this. Again, there are outside factors like diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, or other lifestyle factors that could be changed. But the third one on the list is surgical intervention, releasing what they call the A1 pulley, which is the pulley in the first joint of the finger here, which is where if you're getting trigger finger, that's where the tendon starts to get caught. Release that tendon, so essentially, or release that sheath, so essentially, mm-hmm. the tendon can't get stuck there anymore.
Right.
Success rates of surgery ranged from 90 to nearly 100% in a review that we looked at, with very low reoccurrence rates, around the 3% range. Sheath's not there anymore. I guess my thought would be, like, even if you're not changing a lot outside of that, the sheath might not be there. So that specific finger probably has a very low chance of getting trigger finger again. But again, outside of that, what can we add into these passive methods of treatment to get more at the potential root cause of why our tendons were getting angry and getting stuck in this A1 pulley?
And this is where I recommend a lot of insurance companies now will pay, will help cover therapy treatment prior to going and even seeing an MD and getting, you know, confirmation on trigger finger. If you have a trigger finger, like, do you need more imaging? Do you need more?
It's going to be pretty easy for a PT or an OT to diagnose and say, oh,
this is what we have going on.
Trigger finger.
And based on their assessment, can determine, okay, does this seem like something that we can start to help conservatively with exercise? Or do I think that you need to go and see an MD? So physical therapists or occupational therapists can actually be your first stop prior to going to an MD, prior to getting injections, prior to some of these other things. Now, if you're having a lot of pain and symptoms, you can't stop working, all those other things, that's where I think, you know, an injection, maybe if it's going to be helpful, and then you go and you're seeing the OT or the PT, I think it'd be really beneficial, so that maybe we have that reduction in inflammation and pain, so that you can start to do the exercises and have more of that chance of not having those symptoms come back.
Not having recurrence. Yeah.
Right.
If splinting itself was that effective,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if that would be a part of a physical therapist's recommendation.
Exactly. PTOT.
Me knowing that, I'd say, like, okay, well, we're going to splint this at night.
Yeah.
We're going to try, activity modification. Oh, and here's also these exercises.
That will start progressing into appropriately based on what you can do and what we're assessing in the moment. And that's why we always recommend going to get that physical therapy or occupational therapist assessment and evaluation, because looking at you individually rather than just like, here are these exercises that are generalized, you know, is going to be a lot more impactful. So we're going to go through some of those exercises though.
What should we start with? So essentially, I mean, the goal here is to get the tendon moving through the finger and the tendon, like, gliding through the sheath. And again, if it's uncomfortable or if you're experiencing locking, of course, some of these might be more difficult. If you're experiencing significant locking, that's where we would say, like, okay, you should probably consult with someone in person, and they might be able to better help you navigate how to do some of these exercises or which exercises might be most effective based on the stage that you're at. But essentially, we want to start doing some tendon gliding. So you're going to start with your hand straight in front of you. If you're just listening to this podcast, I'm sorry, but we do show video on YouTube, and there's also a video associated with the Spotify podcast. Mm-hmm. So if you're watching on or listening on Spotify, you can flip over to the video. But some tendon gliding. So we're essentially going to curl our fist down into a fist, wrap the thumb around, and then we're going to just stick our fingers out straight to the side. So they're at kind of a 90 degree angle with our hand. Curl them down again, and then straighten the whole hand out so the fingers are pointing to the ceiling. Boom. That's some tendon gliding right there. And again, even if I sit and do this 10, 15 times, it's amazing when you move your hand in a way that you're not, like, accustomed to doing.
It's very specific, yeah.
You start to feel all those specific muscles and tendons working in your hand. So 10 to 15 reps of those. We saw on different sites, like, they said, okay, do these exercises 3 to 4 days a week. Some sites said do them 3 to 5 times a day. A lot of it's going to be dependent on how inflamed
your symptoms,
you know, your finger might be, how stiff your finger might be. If doing them once a day is good, but doing them twice a day makes you feel more stiffness.
Yeah.
Once a day, you know, so kind of feel out what type of frequency is best for you.
I mean, we have to understand this is a repetitive movement injury without properly having that strength and control around that full range of motion. So this is where, you know, starting in on the exercises but not overdoing it is going to be really crucial and essential. And that's why we have finger stretches as well.
Yes. So talk me through this. Finger extension stretch.
Yes. Right?
So essentially, I mean, you can do this with your hands flat on a table and then kind of bend your wrists or your hand up, but you're going to try and stretch your fingers back into extension. So
gently. You're
kind of gently stretching your fingers back towards your forearm mm-hmm. until you feel a good stretch through the hand.
Breathe.
Relax into it. Try to hold this for...
I mean, I usually go by breaths. 5 slow, long, deep breaths, relax, and then try it again.
And if your breaths are faster than you think, then maybe go 10. But essentially, the longer you're going to hold this, the more you're going to get that muscle that is attached to that tendon to just give a little bit.
Yeah.
And to relax a little bit.
And we're not trying to go aggressive into those passive stretches.
Yeah. And then the next kind of progression of that would be...
Wrist extension stretch.
So you're going to... kind of hold your arm straight out and pull the wrist and the fingers downward. Again, like Jen said, gently. We don't want to go to pain. We want to go till we feel that stretch through our hand, through our forearm.
Yeah.
Again, hold for a good 10 slow breaths. This is another one you can do if you're standing by a table, just putting your palm flat on the table and then stretching into that wrist extension.
Clenched.
Okay. A good progression after wrist extension stretch would be going into kind of a full active wrist and finger flexion to active wrist and finger extension.
Yeah, so just keeping the forearm kind of flat on a surface, and then you're going to loosely make a fist. So it's not a deep fist. It's a loose fist that you kind of bend your fingers and wrap them in, and then hug the hand up as much as you can, and then slowly let it come out. And we like to get into full extension, so dropping those fingers down toward the floor, extending out, and then again curling those fingers into a loose fist and kind of coming in. So that's like your clenched wrist stretch. You can also go side to side with that wrist, so doing side bending of that wrist.
And again, we could list off at this point of the podcast 20 different finger, hand, wrist exercises, all essentially with the goal of, and this is going to be slightly different if it's happening to your ring finger versus your thumb. Mm-hmm. You know, a good thing to do would be start with a straight hand and just tap, keep your fingers straight, but tap each finger to your thumb. Mm-hmm. We call these finger taps, and that's working on control. That's also going to help with a little bit of that tendon gliding. This is a fairly low barrier exercise. Since we're not fully flexing the finger, this might be more comfortable. But all these are just to help start and promote movement of the tendon, control of those fingers, and doing so in a comfortable way so that we can start to retrain that tendon to glide with maybe less friction, maybe less inflammation.
Fingertip bends are really, so you're kind of, you could do this at different joints as well. So you could do it like holding more at the tips of the fingers and then just trying to bend as much as you can.
So hold it for a couple seconds. And you can do this with one finger at a time.
You could do it with the affected finger only.
Just the affected finger. Or
and
all
then
of them.
Hold below that second joint and coming down, hold as bend as much as you can. And repeating that about 10 to 20 times is a good one. You could just do where you're lifting the fingers up off of a surface, so your hand is flat and you're trying to bring as much extension. You could do finger spreads. And then once you start to progress on these exercises, this is where you can start to add resistance, add load by just doing it in a rice bucket.
Yes.
So we're putting these exercises more on Gen Health as well, so try to bring more variety.
So we have a full wrist elbow plan. It's called wrist and elbow plan, but a lot of wrist and elbow disorders affect you all the way through the fingers.
Yes.
Because anytime you've got something going on at wrist or elbow, the fingers kind of will suffer to some degree, mm-hmm. depending on the disorder as well. So we're adding some of these rice bucket exercises into that wrist and elbow plan.
Yes. And almost all of the exercises we named can be done in that rice bucket to add, like, especially the finger spread, the tapping to each finger. Like, this can all be done in that rice bucket to add a little bit more resistance.
The reason that these exercises should be important, if you're someone out there who has trigger finger, whether you have a background of, you know, having diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, if you have a background as a smoker, or some other thing that may affect your tissue quality, tissue health, you should be paying attention to these exercises. If you already do have trigger finger or have had it in the past,
yes,
you may be at risk of that happening to another finger. And so maybe adding some of these exercises in. There are so many times that whether you're sitting in the car, whether you're sitting watching something on TV, just laying in bed and doing a few reps of these exercises could be beneficial to help teach those tendons that run through the hands. And like, this is how we move without inflammation. Or if you're someone who does repetitive work with your hands, like, how can we add in that different stimulus, add in a few of these exercises to train those muscles slightly differently? Thanks so much for listening into another PT Pearl. Again, this was a listener recommendation. So if you have recommendations for podcast topics, you can always email them to us at jen@jen.health, or you can reach out to either of us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Just DM us, let us know, hey, please do a podcast on this topic. We might have already done one. We have over 400 of these episodes, crazy, which is insane. So if we have done one, we can send it your way, or we like to redo episodes sometimes because there's always new research coming, yes, out that we can view. If you're interested in that wrist and elbow plan, or you're like, hey, I listened to this episode because I've been having some issues with my hands and my, mm-hmm, wrists, check that out. You can get a free week by going to jen.health/free trial. And as our podcast guest, make sure you use code OPTIMAL at checkout. That'll give you a bonus discount on your first month or first year of the subscription if you choose to move on. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.